This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, September 21st. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, troubles with Illinois' standardized achievement test for grade school students. Also coming up, a look at our weather, a forecast coming from AM 580's Mike Sola. First, a look at this morning's news. The Illinois Supreme Court has issued rules regarding an abortion law passed back in 1995. The law requires doctors to notify the parents of girls 17 years or under 48 hours before performing an abortion. The law went unenforced for more than a decade because the state Supreme Court refused to issue rules over how the court should handle waivers. But just 2 days after the court announced it would take up the issue again, it's issued the rules. Lori Chaitin, the director of the Reproductive Rights Project for the ACLU of Illinois, says that was a surprise. She says the court does not seem to have followed its own rulemaking processes.
Usually there seems to be some kind of, you know, proposed rule and then public comment and a public hearing. And in this situation, they just, for some reason, decided to announce this on Monday and then 2 days later issue a series of rules.
Calls to the Illinois Supreme Court weren't immediately returned. The state director of the group Concerned Women for America has praise for the court, saying it recognizes the parental role in families. A federal injunction against the Illinois law, though, must be removed before it can go into effect. Most Illinois consumers are expected to see an increase in the utility bills around the first of the year. But as Amanda Vinicky reports, that could change if the courts or state lawmakers intervene.
Starting in January, the state's two largest power providers, ComEd and Ameren, will increase how much they'll charge customers for electricity for the first time in a decade. Although a state regulatory board has approved the rate hikes, there's still a chance customers won't get saddled with larger bills. One possibility is that the courts could step in. Ben Weinberg with the Illinois Attorney General's office says a suit has been filed on the public's behalf. Weinberg says, by law, rates must be kept steady until customers can choose what electric company they want.
The reality is that no competition has developed.
The same rationale is the basis of a measure before the General Assembly, which lawmakers could vote on in November. Advocates say consumers can't afford higher rates at a time when companies are making record profits. But by the time the legislature could take action, this year's elections will be over, and the pressure to please constituents won't be as heavy. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Republican Judy Barr Topinka says she doesn't object to making public lists of unsuccessful candidates for state jobs who lost out to people with political connections. Citing privacy laws, Governor Rob Blagojevich is refusing to do that. His administration has released the names of at least once before, but has refused to do so lately. It's a position he sticks to in an Associated Press candidate questionnaire. Both gubernatorial candidates responded to the questionnaire that asked questions on issues including ethics and state hiring practices. While Topinka says she has no objection to the idea of releasing candidate lists, she did say she'd have to look at the legal implications. Critics have said the names should be released so people can know if the administration is following hiring laws. At Mayor Laurel Pressing's request, Urbana firefighters inspected a sampling of the city's fire hydrants earlier this month. The majority of the hydrants checked were found to be in good shape, but Urbana's fire chief says it should have been better. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
Fire Chief Rex Munt says out of the 150 hydrants checked this month by Urbana firefighters, one failed to operate. 40 others had leaks, missing or defective gaskets, or other problems hampering operations. Munt says normally he would expect hydrants to develop problems over time.
But as my report notes, Illinois American was very clear with me in stating that they'd been through our city twice this year. And so I would have expected, really, basically no deficiencies.
Illinois American local operations manager Barry Suit says they'll address any hydrant problems, but he questions the report of one hydrant failing to operate. Suit says a water company employee joining the firefighters on their inspection was able to turn the hydrant on, although with difficulty. Chief Munt says he'll hold more hydrant inspections on a regular basis. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
An Illinois appellate court will decide whether an Edgar County man serving time for a highly publicized 1986 murder deserves a new trial. Attorneys for Herb Whitlock say the evidence, a botched police investigation, and poor work by his defense attorney should earn him a new trial. The defense team made their arguments yesterday before the 4th District Appellate Court. Whitlock is serving a life sentence for murdering Karen Rhodes, who died along with her husband Dyke Rhodes in a stabbing rampage at their home. Co-defendant Randy Steidel was convicted in both killings but released from prison 2 years ago after Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan ruled her office couldn't retry Steidel based on a lack of evidence. Whitlock's attorney, Susanna Ortiz, says that should weigh heavily in any decision regarding her client.
Well, our understanding is that certainly the Prisoner Review Board was going to recommend a pardon for Mr. Steidel. Whether it'll be granted or not by the governor's office is a different story, but we hope the courts are aware of that and that it has some persuasive value.
Prosecutors say the problems with Steidel's conviction don't apply to Whitlock. Ortiz says she was impressed with the judicial panel's knowledge of the 1986 case. On Wednesday, the court was set no timetable for its decision after a 45-minute hearing. For the latest newscast online, go to will.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. When nearly a million Illinois elementary school kids sat down to take a new set of standardized tests last spring, trouble was already brewing. Some test booklets arrived late, others went to the wrong schools. The ensuing months have seen legal battles, finger-pointing, naysaying, and enough number-crunching to give even a statistician a headache. And the test results still aren't in, which means teachers don't yet have the kind of data they need to improve teaching strategies. Illinois Public Radio's Monique Parsons reports.
Paul Tinich is sitting behind his desk at Lincoln Elementary School on Chicago's north side. He's worked here for 25 years, the last 14 as principal. Back in August, he met with his teachers to talk about improving curriculum, but he was missing an important guide.
It's hard to do data-driven decision-making when you don't have the data.
Nearly 6 months after his students took the Illinois State Achievement Tests, Tinich and principals across the state are still waiting for the test results. Why does this matter?
Last year, they told us that we would have them in June or July so that we could use them at the appropriate time for teacher meetings, and that just didn't happen, and that's a disappointment.
The mandatory test, known as the ISAT, is given each year by the Illinois State Board of Education. The stakes are high. Federal officials use the ISAT scores to gauge school performance, and they can shut down schools where kids don't improve. The state board blames the score's delay on Harcourt, the company hired to provide a new version of the ISAT this year. According to state officials, Harcourt messed up distribution and then missed a June deadline for returning results. So for the first time ever, Illinois is paying another company to double-check all the scores. Becky McCabe oversees student assessment for the State Board of Ed.
Because of all of the problems we had with the tests getting delivered to the schools on time, we wanted to be sure that the scores had gone through a quality review. That meant big delays and a lot of frustration.
And a lot of extra cost to the state, although McCabe says she doesn't know how much. Assistant State Superintendent Ginger Reynolds says Harcourt should have to pay damages.
There are many pieces of their contract that they didn't live up to, and there are provisions in the contract to collect for those.
Still, she won't give Harcourt a failing grade. The board liked the new test, a colorful, more user-friendly exam, and they say it's a good measure of student skills. And when districts finally did get some preliminary results this summer, many educators said they liked the new test too. The early data for Chicago public schools showed a record percent increase in the number of kids who met state standards. North Suburban Wilmette saw scores go up too, especially in eighth grade math.
We had more than two-thirds of our students exceed state standards. And that was up from last year. I think last year was about 55%, and this year it's about 66%. So we saw a nice gain.
Wilmette Superintendent Max McGee credits the new test and strong teaching, but he also knows that a controversial move by the state board to lower the math standard, called the CUT score, probably helped some of his students score higher. McGee, a former state superintendent, says lowering the math bar was the wrong move.
So the message now, when we lower the CUT score, is what we are really telling teachers and kids, we don't think you're up to it. We don't think you're capable. We're going to make it easier for you. And again, that is not what the young men and young women of Chicago, of Illinois, need to be able to do to succeed in high school and the workplace.
In the Chicago district, the eighth grade gains were even more impressive. With a 37% increase, CPS kids improved far more than Wilmette's. Even with the lower CUT score factored in, CPS officials say the city's eighth graders show a solid 10% increase. Michael Locke, a former physics teacher, heads up the math and science initiative at CPS. But Locke is not sitting on his laurels. He points out that Illinois' ISAT standards are actually below average national standards. Like Tinich at Lincoln School, Locke wants his teachers to use the data to improve.
And what does it mean? You're up 10 points. What does that mean? And, oh, you're up 10 points in number sense. You know, ideally what it means is the fifth grade math team should sit down and look about where they taught things and look at how certain kids did and think about the lessons they did, see if that matches the chapter tests that they did at that school and the projects that kids did, and see what they have to change based on that, and keep talking about that all through the next year so they can do even better. That's how to really use this stuff to make these schools the kinds of places our kids deserve.
In a better year, teachers at Lincoln School and elsewhere would have already done this kind of analysis. But they and their students are going to have to wait a few more weeks. The State Board of Ed says final ISAT results will be sent to schools in mid-October. Interested members of the public will have to wait until October 31st. I'm Monique Parsons.
Well, our sunshine today will turn into a fairly wet weekend, unfortunately. Partly sunny in Illinois today with a few stray showers in the morning. In Indiana, partly to mostly sunny and highs ranging from 64 in northwest Illinois to 73 in southern Illinois. Mike Sola says for tonight, it'll be mostly cloudy in Illinois with showers and thunderstorms developing from west to east. In Indiana, partly to mostly cloudy, a chance of showers and thunderstorms towards sunrise. Lows overnight ranging from 50 in eastern Indiana to 62 in southwest Illinois. For Friday, mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms, and highs tomorrow from 66 in northwest Illinois to near 80 in far southern Indiana. Saturday and Sunday apparently will be mostly cloudy, with scattered showers and thunderstorms continuing, and highs Saturday from the 60s in northern Illinois to the low 80s in the south, Sunday's highs from the mid-60s north to mid-70s south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, September 21st. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, Agricultural Programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.